The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Relations Slips with Dr. Bobby Sommer and Lori Lynn Mann. Both of your hosts are looking at relationships from opposite sides. Dr. Bobby Sommer has been married for over 50 years, while Lori Lynn Mann is involved in the dating world. Through their experiences, that of their amazing guests, and you, we'll show how to live through your spirit and with your ego. Now, here is Dr. Bobby and Lori.
Hi there. Welcome to Relations Slips. My name is Dr. Bobby Sommer, and I'm here with my co-host and dear friend, Lori Lynn Mann.
Welcome to today's show. I'm so excited. Today's a good topic.
It's a great topic, and we have a wonderful guest to help us illustrate the points we're trying to make about a thing called our idealized self versus our realized self. You know, we have many different selves. Not to say they're necessarily schizophrenic, but we have different parts, different facets of our personality, and they play very differently in different situations. So we're going to talk today a lot about the difference between the roles we play sometimes and the goals we have. And so at certain times we find that we evaluate our lives and think, gee, do I really like that about myself? How do I do this thing called self-acceptance?
Gosh, it's this problem that everybody goes through throughout the course of their life, when they're a kid, when they're going through their preteens, when they're going through adulthood.
Always.
When they're over-evaluating their life from their past, that we're always looking at our roles and our goals, even if we're not calling it that.
Absolutely. And Laura, I'd like you to tell our listeners a little bit about our guest, because it's very exciting. And I know she's going to be telling us a lot about how she came to this wonderful thing called self-acceptance.
Yeah, today we're really excited. As you know, we love bringing on real people to our show, because relation slips happens to all of us, but when we apply it to circumstances that we've seen maybe played out on television or in this public sphere, we can kind of start to notate it. I think that's when it becomes more real, and that's why reality TV is here to stay. I mean,
yep.
It's so,
absolutely.
People love reality TV because they see the real emotion in real world experiences, that it's not always scripted or semi not scripted.
And they can see themselves in it too. We can see ourselves.
Absolutely. You will relate to a villain or the captive in any sort of movie you watch. But when it's real life, you say, you know what? I would have done the same thing. And I get how she's feeling right now when she's feeling so vulnerable on some of these shows. So, you know, we love talking about relationships. That's the name of the show, Relation Slips. And dating, relationships that go on to love or some way of seeking it is something that we humans are always searching for. And we are here today with Sarah Herron from The Bachelor. She was one of the female contestants that really got a lot of public attention because she has one arm, and people would talk about, well, what is that like for you as a female? What's it like for you with your self-esteem and in dating? How does that interact with how you see yourself and how you think your partner sees you? So we'll be talking to her in the next segment about her experiences on The Bachelor. She then went on to the show The Bachelor in Paradise, which is this funny concept of bringing like the elite, most best looking favorites of the show. So it's like hot bodies and hot brains like mixed on an island. I mean, who wouldn't want that?
Absolutely.
But you're so vulnerable on that show because they're dating each other and competing actually for love. I mean,
in front of the whole world.
In front of the whole world. So think about vulnerability, not just in dating, not just in The Bachelor, but then Bachelor in Paradise brings it to a whole other level of like, which guy is going to choose me? Because now it's not just one guy that all the women are seeking. Like on The Bachelor, it's multiple couples. Like, who's going to hook up with who? Or does he find me attractive? What is he like about me versus her? So there's a constant monkey brain chatter that goes on when we ask ourselves, does he like me? Does he not? And that's why there is that popular saying, does he love me, does he love me not, that you see
loves me, loves
little
me
girls
not.
Doing with lily petals. I did that as a kid.
Yeah,
did you
daisies.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk a lot today about how we get this wonderful thing called self-image and self-awareness and self-esteem. I had the good fortune several years ago to have a wonderful mentor. His name was Dr. Maxwell Maltz. And he wrote a wonderful book, a very popular book at the time, entitled Psycho Cybernetics. Kind of a mouthful. But what it really means is the word psycho doesn't mean like psycho. It means like of the psyche, which means of the self, of the spirit, of the soul. And the word cybernetics is a Greek term, and it means helmsperson. So the word psycho-cybernetics really means, how am I steering myself through life? How do I see myself? How do I visualize myself? What is the image I have in my head of myself? You know, many times we work with people with eating disorders. I know, Laura, you've had a lot of work with that too.
I do. I work with that population in private practice.
Right.
I've worked at clinics for women that have suffered from eating disorders. And I think it's a very difficult disorder because it's so multi-layered. Most of the general public doesn't even understand it. So it's multi-layered at an emotional sense. Of course, you could say it's about self-perception and body image, but it's actually beyond that. But what were you going to say, Bobby, about the body image part?
Because what happens when many people look into the mirror, they have a thing called body dysmorphia. What that means is they may be very thin, almost to the point of being emaciated, but they look at themselves, they see themselves as being fat. And so it's a distortion of how we see ourselves.
Right.
But I think actually, I love what you said a while ago, Lori, we were talking about this. When we look into a mirror, what do most of us do? We look into a mirror.
Right. I mean, gosh, how many mirrors do you have in your house? I mean,
too many.
If you the listener, are listening in right now, you're probably looking in your rearview mirror of your car as we talk about the mirror while you're driving, if you're listening to us on iTunes or through your podcast on your cell phone or through your listening device. And when we look at a mirror, we're constantly checking our physical state. Is my hair in the right place? Do I have any food in my teeth? What do my hips look like? Oh, I look so fat in these jeans. Oh, my belly is sticking out. You can see my bra through my shirt. Help me. You see too much detail.
Yeah. The fashion police are after me, for goodness sakes.
I know. We're our own fashion police in our minds.
So it was very interesting because Dr. Maxwell Maltz actually coined the term self-image. And he's become known now as the father of self-image psychology. And from self-image, as we see ourselves, comes this term self-esteem, which means basically, how do I feel about myself? And after a while, we're going to talk a little bit about how our self-talk so strongly influences how we see about ourselves and how we feel about ourselves, and ultimately what our self-esteem comes out to be.
Right.
It's extremely important to understand this. So as I worked with Dr. Maltz, I became kind of one of his gophers. So many years later, I was on a television show, and I was on, actually it was being interviewed by Maria Shriver, and she was asking me, how did I come to be identified with psycho-cybernetics? And I mentioned that Dr. Maxwell Maltz was my mentor. And so she said, oh, I understand that you were a colleague of his. I said, well, not exactly. I was more like a gopher because I was a graduate student. But I was so impressed by what he was talking about because he said the years he did his practice. Now, by the way, Dr. Maltz was a plastic surgeon. He was not a psychiatrist. He was not a psychologist. But he observed something very interesting. He observed that he would do something for people that they requested, like fix their nose, whatever he was doing, you know, give them a butt lift or fix their boobs or whatever he was doing. And then at the end of the operation, when they were beginning to recover, he would hold up a mirror and say, well, what do you think? And many people would say, oh, yeah, my nose looks better. It really does. But you know what? I don't feel any differently. And he was like, wow, what's all that about? So he began to ask colleagues of his day, you know, how do you explain this phenomena? That obviously the person looks better by their own self-report. They can see the difference. But yet they say, I don't feel any different. So his colleagues said the usual, which is, well, we don't know. They couldn't explain it. So they said, you know, why don't you talk to some of your psychiatrist buddies and find out what's going on? So he began to query psychiatrists about that. And they really didn't have much of a term for it. So he said, well, people should really write about this. They should write a book about this. So his buddy said, why don't you write the book? He said, well, I'm not a psychotherapist. I'm not a psychiatrist. They said, well, you don't have to be. So he wrote the book on psycho-cybernetics, mm-hmm. where he talked about self-image and how we view ourselves. So we're talking a lot about that today with our wonderful guest, Sarah, and see how that really fits into her life as being a person who's going through life in a very different manner because she is in complete arm. Right. So it's, and how does that, quote unquote, help her, hurt her, or does it not bother her?
Right.
So we'll talk about how this is for all of us. And this is whether we have an incomplete arm, whether we have a reading disability, whether we have any type of challenge. Everybody has a challenge. And we all have something that we feel is quite not exactly perfect about us. So that's okay because no one's going to be perfect all the time anyway. So we'll talk about this wonderful thing called psycho-cybernetics. Later on, I had the opportunity to rewrite Dr. Maxwell Maltz's book. As a matter of fact, the Prentice Hall, the publisher, had asked me if I would like to rewrite the book. And I said, well, it's already been written. It doesn't need to be rewritten. But what I'd like to do is perhaps revitalize it, bring up some more of the current literature, like the split brain research and what that means, and maybe bring a new light to what he was talking about. He was writing in the 70s, so much research had come out between the 70s and, you know, the 2000. So I began to rewrite the ideas, but keeping his central ideas there always, all the time, just adding to it by embellishing some of the recent research that supports that what he was saying is absolutely true. He was basically saying, fake it till you make it. Without using those terms.
I actually love this term. I say fake it till you make it all the time.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the way to get things done is you have to get your mind and spirit there first. So if you don't fully believe you are capable of something, why don't you try it out as if you were?
Yes. Act as if.
I ask clients all the time about, you know, what if the day was to change tomorrow, what if your circumstance was to change? What clues would you have? It's like this miracle question we ask in one of the forms of psychology. It's like a crystal ball. If you were to have it, how would that be? What would you act like? And then they say, well, I would do this and that. Well, why don't you try that?
Yes.
Why not try that?
Yes, because he showed the importance of visualization. He said how important it was to visualize yourself doing certain things. So he was really the first one that talked a lot about, in a popular sense, of being able to see yourself doing something as if it were true. He had a very famous study where he had basketball players visualize themselves making different shots all the time, all the time. Yeah. And then he had another control group actually practicing the actual basketball, doing it themselves. And at the end of the whole thing, they found out, guess what? Those people who sat quietly and what he called the theater of your mind and visualized themselves throwing the ball, seeing it go through the hoop, hearing the swoosh of the net and falling through, did actually as well, some did actually better than the ones who physically practiced the sport.
It's the beauty of visualization and belief. And so yes. Changing your spirit, your mind, your ego to all fall in line with that.
Absolutely.
You know, I've said before, I'm a competitive distance runner. I've run for 20 years now. And I remember when I would break a record or win a championship race, it only happened with that visualization beforehand.
Yes,
I would
amazing.
Have to actually, I would lay in bed and envision the start of the race, each lap, if it was on the track, or each turn of the hill, if it was a cross-country race. But we'll have to talk more about that later. Actually, as we're getting closer to the break now, and I'm getting excited to talk to Sarah about this concept. So idealized versus realized self and self-image.
Right.
And, you know, Bobby is the expert here. So Dr. Bobby Summers leading today's show on psycho-cybernetics because she wrote the book. So as we come back from break, don't forget to tweet us, and we'll talk to you in a little bit.
Stimulating talk gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you or someone you know interested in attending college? With both college tuition and college enrollment up 60% since 2002, there is a lot of competition, and careful planning needs to be a part of the process. Tune in to Getting In, a College Coach Conversation, hosted by Elizabeth Heaton and featuring a team of college coach experts. We'll bring you the tips, techniques, and know-how to navigate the road to college and do so the smart way. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
On the morning of August 5th, 1962, the world awoke to the shocking news that Marilyn Monroe, one of the biggest icons in Hollywood history, had been found dead. What really happened that night? Join Nina Bosky as she seeks to uncover both the life and tragic death of Marilyn Monroe and what keeps her so popular over 50 years later. Good Night Marilyn Radio, live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Relation Slips. To reach Dr. Bobby Sommer, Lori Lynn Mann, or their guests today, call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now back to Relation Slips.
All right, welcome back. Today we're talking about a really, I think, important topic in relationships becoming relation slips.
Yes.
And that's the relation slip you can have with yourself.
Most important relationship in the world.
Relationship, yes, yeah. that one. The one, it has to start there. So when you hear self-esteem, self-image, self-talk, self-psychology, they sound like we've read so many self-help books about them. There goes that word self again. Yes. That it's overdone, but it's not, because this is something that has to constantly be reevaluated, because it's constantly a theme.
And it's also not about being self-centered or narcissistic. And there's a real big misconception about that.
Absolutely. And we talk about that mirror, right? So you might think, I'm really narcissistic if I'm looking in the mirror all the time. But what if the mirror wasn't just showing your physical state? What if instead of seeing your reflection, you saw the reflection of your inner spirit? What do I mean by that? What would that look like?
Yeah.
I'm envisioning words would pop up in that reflection.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be such a metaphysical, momentous moment to wake up in the morning and look at yourself and see who you really are?
Yes.
Maybe a word that said compassionate, giving, loving,
vulnerable,
yeah. Exhausted, whatever,
yes.
Real could come up. So instead, we don't have that. We have the media, we have culture, we have relationships with snarky people, we have reality TV where you're involved in that. And Sarah today, who we're going to introduce in just a second from The Bachelor, who was a contestant on that show and on Bachelor in Paradise, actually played out this situation of going through your self-image and self-talk when you're in the dating sector. And that's what happened on Bachelor in Paradise, where there is a vulnerability.
Terribly high vulnerability.
Yeah.
And very, very big risk-taking.
Such a big risk.
Risk-taking.
On that note, let's bring in the risk-taker.
Yeah.
Sarah Heron, how you doing? Are you there with us?
Hi there. I'm great. How are you guys?
What's it like for me to introduce you as a risk taker?
Oh my gosh. I know.
You are a risk taker.
It's kind of weird hearing that about myself, because I'm like, am I really? I don't know. But it's crazy. What I've gone through is crazy.
Yes. So. I mean, millions of people watch The Bachelor every season, and Bachelor in Paradise is the newer show that's a spinoff of that. And you were on both. So tell the viewer, you know, what it was like for you. You know, how did you get involved with The Bachelor, and what was the process like for you emotionally? Because it is an emotional, vulnerable process.
Emotional roller coaster.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everyone has a different reason for going on The Bachelor. And for me, I think I was about 25 years old at the time and living in LA and really struggling to date. And just feeling really insecure. Los Angeles is a very pressuring city to live in. You have to look good. You have to be physically fit. You have to be attractive and smart and witty. And there's so much pressure to be better than the girl next to you. And
oh, yeah.
To be appealing.
And on all the time, yes.
Yeah,
right.
And obviously growing up only having one hand, I've always been a little bit insecure of my body and the way people are perceiving me, what they're thinking about me. So coming to LA, that was a huge challenge, and it kind of put the microscope on my body and my self-image, and I was struggling to date, so much to the point where I was going to bars, and, you know, I would, like, cover my arm with my jacket. I would try and hide myself and disguise my body in ways that people wouldn't notice right off the bat that I only had one arm, in hopes that they would talk to me and then and like me first. So I decided to go on The Bachelor because I said to myself, if I can put myself out there enough to be vulnerable and wear my true colors on national TV and get a guy to fall in love with me for who I am, then I can do it in real life.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I'll be stronger from it, and I can come home, and everything will be a piece of cake after that, right? Like, piece of cake after going on The Bachelor.
And you know what I really admire about you so much, Sarah, and I think other people do too, no doubt, is that you didn't bother to wear a prosthetic. So what was that like for you? What was that decision all about for you?
You know, I grew up with a prosthetic, so I learned to crawl with one. I learned to tie my shoes. I learned to write with both hands. But by fifth grade, it became more of an accessory that made me uncomfortable. And actually, I felt drew more attention to me because the other children would be curious and they wanted to play with it. And it became like a show and tell that I really didn't like. And I felt like it set me apart. And I was always just trying to wear something that wasn't who I was, you know.
So yeah, it wasn't authentic for you.
Yeah, I was just going to say it was not the authentic person that you are. It wasn't consistent with how Sarah saw herself.
Right.
So I did away with it in about fifth grade, and I've never looked back. There have been some instances now that I'm older and I'm more involved in athletics and physical fitness where I've considered getting maybe some, they make they make prosthetics for working out and lifting weights and doing yoga.
So yes. Yeah.
I've considered looking into that, but I haven't yet.
And I think at that point, you are making a very selective choice. If I'm wearing a prosthetic, it's not because I'm trying to hide or be something I'm not. I'm just trying to aid myself become a stronger person all the way around. So you see it as an aid, not as a place to hide or as some kind of a you're duping somebody. I think that's that feels like you're not being true to yourself.
Right.
So that's
great.
Well,
and I think it's different for everyone. Like, sure, if you lose a limb and accident or, you know, that's totally different. But I never grew up with two hands knowing what it was like to have two hands, so it just felt fake to me. So it just wasn't me.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And that, again, that word authenticity comes up. You are a very authentic person. So yeah, I think if, you know, I asked you off air one time and recently, if there was a message you have to get to other young women, beautiful like yourself, that has something different about her body, what would be the main message you'd like to get across to people?
I think, honestly, and when you asked me this earlier, I was struggling also. I'm like, I have the message. I'm not sure how to articulate it. But I think what it is being vulnerable. I think it's the second you can let your guard down and share your insecurities and your vulnerabilities with other people, you instantly become so much stronger. Because if you think about any time, you know, you might just be in something by yourself and you're in your head and you're worrying about it. But then the second you share it with your best friend, you feel like a weight has been lifted off your shoulders and you feel like you have someone who understands you. Everything feels so much better and like you have someone on your team. And so I think maybe that's what my message is I think a lot of girls get to in themselves concerned that people will judge or people won't understand what makes them different or why they feel different. When in reality, if you talk about it and if you share it with people, everyone kind of bands together and we realize we all have the same thing, same but different things that we feel weird about, you know?
Absolutely. There's some, you empowered yourself by opening up that vulnerability. So we talk about this in relationships that you have to be vulnerable and open to finding love when you go in the dating world, but you also have to be vulnerable with yourself and sharing it with your loved ones for that sort of banding together that you said with your support system. You get that from friends and family. So we're not even just talking about romantic relationships here. We're talking about thriving to live. And right. Allowing vulnerability to be a huge part of that.
And vulnerability also is a huge permission giving to other people. It's so amazing when you start opening up, Sarah, and talking about yourself and what it was like growing up, you know, with half an arm or an incomplete arm. Other people said, oh, wow. You know, I too have felt very similar things about my learning disability. I've spent years trying to hide it, trying to act like I could do things I can't do. Mm-hmm. So it gives people permission to say, I'm not perfect either. Wow.
Imagine. Exactly.
And the banding together of the support system is so important to any listener that's listening right now that feels that they have something within them that they haven't shared, that they're keeping inside. If you just tell one person, one confidant, it could be even a priest, a pastor, a teacher, a mentor, a coach, something switches.
Yeah.
There is a flip of the switch. They say that in prayer when more than one person prays together for those that are, you know, of a culture that prays, that there is a sense of empowerment that unites the hands that are holding or the people that are saying that message. It's the same thing when you go into a conference where everybody's learning the same message and they're all banding together to unite around this. There is some sort of power, I believe, that happens. And I believe in this energy that exists around words and around feelings. And that's part of this therapy world that Bobby and I are in as therapists, is that we really do believe that those words, feelings, thoughts, and beliefs do have power.
Oh, incredible power. You know, some people have said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never harm me. But that's not true. Words can definitely harm us, but they can also be extremely helpful. So when you can speak a word about your vulnerability, Sarah, the whole world opens up to that.
Right.
Yeah.
And you felt that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, like, when I originally went on, I was just doing it to meet the guy and see if I could, you know, overcome that for myself. But I never set out to be, like, a role model or a crusader or anything. Like, I didn't even want a new Instagram follower. That wasn't it for me. And then what ended up happening was, yeah, like you said, kind of everyone band together and became this support system for me that made me feel so much better about myself than I could have ever imagined. I mean, people have just been so kind, and I've maybe gotten like one or two hater comments, which just really blows my mind. But people they like seeing, like you said, they like to see someone be vulnerable and share their insecurities because we've all been there. And I was just in hindsight, I'm so proud and honored that I could do that for people. And,
yes.
And they've shared stories with me. So I think it's been tremendous. It's the best experience of my life.
And sometimes our outpouring of love is overpowering, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. You think to yourself, like, oh, do I deserve this?
Yeah. It's almost like, wow, is this true? Is this really happening? Because we're so expecting people to be rejecting sometimes. But, you know, oftentimes people are so loving and so kind. And the more vulnerable you are, the more permission giving it is for them to be vulnerable too.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to talk more about that vulnerability after the break. And we're going to talk about a special acronym that Dr. Bobby has coined. Hello, we've got Dr. Bobby Summer in the house.
Yep. As seen on
Oprah, the SEED acronym. So I'm planting that seed in your mind right now as we head into break. Don't forget to tweet us at @orelationslips or Facebook.com/relationslipsradioshow. Give us your comments and feedback. We want to hear from you. When have you been vulnerable? When have you given power to a thought? So tell us your stories and anecdotes and stay tuned.
And when we come back, you'll have more from Sarah.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
If you are a dreamer aspiring to realize your dreams, join host Michael Friedlander for Dreamers, Winners, and Making a Difference. For Michael, to be a winner,
doesn't mean you must have finished first or must have great wealth, fame, and lots of toys. Instead, it means you must have realized your dreams without cheating or acting unethically. It means you must have made a difference for the better in the lives of those you've touched. Tune in to Dreamers, Winners, and Making a Difference live every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Do you feel like you are alone in a desert? Often we feel alone with no place to turn for help and guidance in our troubles that always seem to be so overwhelming. Stop. Take an hour each week to tune in to Stream in the Desert with Dr. Rita Huang. Dr. Rita will share stories of people just like you, intended for you to find some inspiration in their problems and solutions. The most important thing is that you are not alone. Others have been in the same place. Share some time with us every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific, and on demand on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Relation Slips. To reach Dr. Bobby Sommer, Lori Lynn Mann, or their guests today, call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now back to Relation Slips.
Welcome back. I'm laughing because our studio assistant, Chelsea, is actually just learning how to tune in live to the show. Are you listening in, Chelsea? Is that going okay
for
you?
She is. She's smiling over there.
So if you're tuning into the show, you can listen live on Relation Slips on the Voice America Variety Channel, of course, but you can also go to iTunes after the show if you missed it and listen through podcasts. Just a little 411 that somebody in our own studio just figured out. Pretty comical. Anyhow, welcome back to the show, Relation Slips. Myself, Lori Lynn Mann, and Dr. Bobby Sommer are here to talk to you about this concept of self-image and self-psychology. And Dr. Bobby is my mentor. She taught me in my training days as a therapist. And her mentor was Maxwell Maltz, who is this infamous forerunner in the field of self-psychology, who wrote Psycho-Cybernetics. And Bobby wrote Psycho-Cybernetics
2000.
Yeah. So it's like the plus version. That's the more modernized version. And we're talking more about that today with a specific guest. And we were just talking to Sarah Herron from The Bachelor and Bachelor in Paradise on ABC. She's one of the female contestants on both shows. And she sparked a lot of media sensation online and through chat rooms, and that she is an amazing woman. She has one arm, which some people can see as a deficit, but she's never used the word disability in her life. That's not something that would be authentic to who she is. But when you enter the dating world, there are perceptions. You might ask, how do people see me? Is this guy into me? Is he paying attention to this part of my body? And, you know, in therapy, we talk to clients about self-talk all the time. And I think self-talk can kind of get us in a lot of trouble sometimes.
A large amount of trouble.
A lot. It's like we never shut up. This is like self-evaluation. I mean, I think when I'm driving in the car, I will go through my day. Like, oh, that conversation I had with so-and-so, or that comment I, you know, had with that person, or could I have said that better? That's actually normal, guys. If you're listening in and you can relate, I mean, this is normal stuff, you know?
We talk on an earlier show about the fact that we never shut up. We talk to ourselves all the time.
Yes.
Because we're talking to ourselves is also called thinking.
Hello.
So we hope we're thinking.
Exactly.
Right. So we're going to talk about this wonderful model. I say wonderful because I made it up. Therefore, it has to be wonderful.
It is wonderful, Bobby. You are Bobby.
In my book on Psycho-Cybernetics 2000, I found that many of my patients were trying to figure out a way, how can I change my self-talk? I know sometimes I'm talking myself into a really dumb place to be. So here's a model I've used called SEEDS, S-E-E-D-S. Life is one big card game. He just throws out cards. Here's a situation for you. Here's one for you. Here's one for you. Life doesn't say, here, would you like to have one arm? Here, would you like to be really disabled? Here, do you want to be blind? Life just throws out a card and says, here it is. Now, the way we play the game of life is, How well do you play the card you're dealt? Well, Sarah has actually played her card so well. So when we receive this situation in life, the very first thing we do, and we do it unconsciously, is we evaluate. So the first E in our model stands for evaluate. A cognitive perception. What does that mean? What did that look mean? What were they talking about? And right away, the self-chatter, the monkey chatter starts on my, oh my gosh, what's this mean? Do I sound stupid? What's going on? So this ardent talk comes out all the time. After we have this evaluation cognitively, very quickly, within nanoseconds, we form a thing called emotions. The word emotion means energy in motion.
I love that.
So we start this energy flowing, and we have now produced a feeling. Now, we don't just produce a feeling. We feel a whole cluster of feelings coming up. I can feel confused, upset, embarrassed, all at once. So it's very, very confusing for us. So once the emotion starts to take place, then we do a wonderful thing called behaviors, called what do we do about the situation? What do I say? How do I handle it? Then when that's all said and done, here comes the final S, the big S. It's called self-esteem. Mm-hmm. How do I feel about how I've done that? How many times have we driven home saying, oh, I don't know why I said that. What am I thinking? Maybe I'm not thinking at all. There's something wrong with me. You know?
Right.
Or we drive home saying, you know what? That's okay. I mean, I screwed up, but I'm not perfect. I can live with that.
Right.
All these things are so important because as you change your self-talk, you absolutely change your life. And I was, Sarah, you had a wonderful moment, probably many moments, but led to one big moment of you having a self-realization about yourself. So if you would please share that with our listening guests.
I think I've probably been in constant state of self-realization and just kind of, like you said, I'm always thinking about how is my body being perceived? How are people
yes.
looking at me? Am I standing right? All of the things, but particularly I think on The Bachelor, I became so much more self-aware of those things. Like I've always been hyper-aware of
sure.
my body and myself, but on The Bachelor, of course, because then it was, is this person genuinely interested in me for me, or does he think I'm a great person and I'm sweet, but I'm sensitive, and so he doesn't want to break my heart, and he doesn't want to be a jerk. And so I went through all of those things on The Bachelor, which kind of, yeah, admittedly drove me a little bit bonkers, you know, yeah. from time to time, day in and day
yes.
out, actually.
Yes. And to go, yeah, with Bobby's acronym of seed, there were too many seeds planted.
Yes.
Too many.
Yeah.
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 And, you know, it's Sarah, crazy. it drives all of us crazy trying to second guess yeah. what's going on with ourselves.
Oh, right. Yeah. You can really drive yourself bonkers, like this over-evaluation, that seed, situation, the evaluation, the emotion, the self-talk and the doing. You just pointed that out right there with the process of dating, thinking like, is he into me? Why is he into me? Am I standing right? What, you know, how does that make me perceive myself? You know, am I mm-hmm. less than? Am I competing with these other girls with all their fake lashes and hair extensions?
Yeah.
And I just want to wear flip-flops, you know?
and not wear makeup on one afternoon. Please.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Right.
Yeah.
It was hard. It's really hard. It's as if there aren't enough factors to constantly be like thinking about and worrying about. When you add relationships and the pressures of finding somebody else on a deserted island that you can have a connection with, it's just like, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So,
I can't even imagine. And you've got cameras.
A real pressure cooker.
Oh, my God!
Emotionally speaking.
Yes. Yes.
Emotionally speaking. So I would think for you, too, there's always a fear of maybe they pity me. God forbid. Do anything but don't pity me.
Right. Right. That was, and I actually kind of experienced that on both occasions of The Bachelor. The first time with Sean Lowe, who's a great guy. And I mean, he sent me home about halfway through the season, and I completely respect him for his decision, but I had a hard time with the way that he dumped me because he pulled me aside to say, you know, you're amazing and you're going to make someone so happy and you're going to be perfect for someone else. You're just not right for me. And I couldn't help but come home and think like, So how long was he keeping me around? Because did he like me at all, or was it pity the whole time? Because he didn't want to be so cruel to send the one-armed girl home.
Yes, and, how can he be so mean, right?
Yeah, and I really kind of struggled with that for a long time, and still to this day, I don't know. Like, it could have been Sean, it could have been producers, knowing that I would make good television. I really don't know. I'm fine and at peace with all of it and the outcome that I've had from the experience, so that's all that really matters. But yeah, I definitely went through that.
Yeah,
and then it kind of happened all over again in Paradise, because it's equal parts guys and girls, right? And so the whole objective is you have to form a connection with somebody in order to stay and develop a relationship. And if you can't hit it off with a guy or a girl, you go home at the end of the week. And so then the circus started to come to town, because I'm like, well, does the guy really like me, or does he want to be on the TV show? Like,
yeah,
does he
what's
want
the
fame?
Deal?
Yeah. So I think, like, we all go through these things, the seeds, in real life, and then when you're on the TV show, it's, like, absolutely insane. But,
yeah,
I mean, that was really, really hard for me, and you called it a pressure cooker, which is absolutely true, and ultimately, on this final episode, I kind of exploded, you know, and I was not secure, and I was not confident, and my emotions got the best of me, and I reacted too quickly, and I was left with horrible self-esteem on the last day, and I went home in tears, and it sucked.
Right. Because you were evaluating.
I was able to take the lesson from it and hopefully not ever react like that again.
So that lesson, if you had to distill that lesson down, because it's a tough thing to put into a few words, but it sounds like something inside of you came together and you had a sense of peace.
Yeah.
Yeah, so can you put words to that? Because it's like describing how chocolate tastes. How can you do that, you know? But if you could put words to that, what was that like for you, Sarah?
The part about coming to peace with the way things went.
Yes.
I mean, that's hard. I think that just kind of takes time, and it takes a lot of self-reflection, and it obviously takes talking to your mom and your girlfriends. And
there you
and
go.
Just kind of. And going through the motions of it and talking until you're blue in the face about it. And then, and just kind of, you know, for me in particular, I reconciled with Robert, who is my boyfriend on the show.
Perfect, perfect.
And it took him and I meeting up and kind of hashing things out and being like, I'm sorry for turning into a crazy girl and letting my thoughts get too into my head. And I'm, you know, I'm like, is this how you felt? And this is what I got insecure about. And I thought maybe you were just interested in staying with me for fame and whatever. So I think it kind of takes just going with the motions and handling things maturely and calmly and thinking about things instead of reacting. Too much.
You know, I think what it really took, Sarah, was authenticity. And I really get that in you. I mean, I can feel that you are so authentic and so real. So your realized self is very close to your idealized
Absolutely.
Self.
Absolutely. And what she just pointed out there is our seeds model is the S and the D. The final S and the D are the self-talk and the doing.
Yeah.
So when you actually, like you spoke to Robert and you had that closure part with him, that was actually really monumental for you, because you had a voice, you got clarity with healthy communication back and forth with two people is the way to do it. And then after that, you're able to make an assessment in a healthy way. Like, you have some self-talk, like, I'm proud of myself for speaking my mind. I went through something really tough and vulnerable on national TV and it sucked, but you know what? I'm okay. That is part of the final step of seeds. Yeah, that's the part
really
that gets us up. You know, we have pitfalls in life. We have a lot of things that can happen any day of the week, and it's how do you come out of them is really the telltale sign.
Yeah. And it really took guts for you, really guts, to go back and to be able to finalize with Robert. So we really want to thank you for being a role model, for having lots of guts, and for sharing who you are with our listeners and with us.
Thank you so much,
you.
Sarah. You're awesome. We
you
love
are.
You.
No, this is great. I'm, like, so excited. This is a great talk.
We'd love it. We'd love to have you back, Sarah. We'll be calling you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're going to the break now. Don't forget to tweet us, orelationslips, facebook.com/relationslipsradio. Stay tuned after the break.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
It's time to take a new look at some of life's changing moments. It's time to listen to an expert who has been there and can provide insight through experience, studies, and enlightening guests. Tune in to Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets. Host Lindsay Levinson takes a look at relationships, parenting, health and wellness, divorce, depression, sexuality, philanthropy, and mental health. You'll look at everything you know in a different way. Illuminating Now, Lindsay's Life Secrets, airs Wednesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Tune in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call in to Patricia Raskin Positive Living Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the Voice America Variety Channel. It's practical, positive solutions for a happy, empowered, and successful life.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Relations Slips. To reach Dr. Bobby Sommer, Lori Lynn Mann, or their guest today, call into the show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now back to Relations Slips.
Hi there. Welcome back. I know you enjoyed hearing Sarah as much as we enjoyed talking with her. And now I would like to talk a little bit more about the relationship between the spirit and the ego and how it fits into the seeds model we just talked about. So if you just tuned in, we're talking about the thing called the seeds model, S-E-E-D-S. It's all based on the fact that our self-esteem springs from a situation that happens to us in life. The first thing we do, even unconsciously, as we evaluate, oh my gosh, what did that mean? Mm-hmm. What did that person mean when they looked at me like that? What is that supposed to mean? So we always evaluate. Then comes a thing called emotions. We actually form our own emotions in ourselves. The word emotion means energy and motion. Our energy begins to move and we feel these things happening. Then that actually springs us forward to incite us to action. That's where the D part comes in, doing. What do we do about the situation? You heard Sarah say what she did was she decided to talk to Robert and to confront him. Now, confront does not mean the same as combating. She didn't go out there to fight with him. She was looking to find a way to find closure.
Right.
And she did.
Yeah.
Then after that comes the final step, the S, and the last S is self-esteem. How do I feel about how I handle the situation? So once again, we talk about the spirit and the ego as the two parts of our personality coming together to form who we are. Now, first of all, we have to be really clear with ourselves how we are in our spirit. Are we ardent? What does that mean? Dissipated energy spinning around all the time, scattered. And I can be in that state if I'm anxious.
Oh, yeah.
I can be in that state if I'm sexually aroused. I can be in that state if I'm frightened. So lots anxiety. Of things make us feel that way.
Yeah, anxiety we think of as like, oh, I'm so stressed out. But like Bobby just mentioned, being aroused in any which way, like excited from a football game and that final score,
yes.
Or being sexually aroused, you're still having that sort of scattered, fragmented spinning energy, which can be used in a good way in some instances, and in other ways it can spin you downward.
Exactly. So if our spirit is in that ardent state, number one, we become aware. What is going on with me? What am I feeling? Then we realize, do I want to stay in this state? If
right.
not, how do I begin to move into the next state where I want to be, which is animated?
Right.
Where I still have lots of energy at my disposal, but I can channel it. I can focus it. I can use it to do what I want to do. And then at the last state, I want to be very aware of the fact of when I'm in my apathetic state. What does that mean? My energy feels dissipated. I don't want to get off the couch. You know, and oftentimes we associate this state with being depressed, giving up, being lack of motivation. So whether we're ardent, being in the almost anxious state or excited state, all the way through apathetic, we're always trying to pull into the middle to become more animated, where we have our feeling of ourselves, I have more self-control. Sarah was saying, she came to this wonderful thing called, I accept myself.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when you come to that, I'm really okay the way I am. I am enough. Mm. Listeners, here's your homework assignment. Look in the mirror and say, I am plenty. I am enough. I don't have to do anything or say anything or put any more makeup on. I'm fine. Because that's a fake it till you make it. After a while, you'll look in that mirror and you'll think, yeah, I really am okay.
Well, that fake it till you make it is like if you really feel down in the dumps and you look in the mirror like, I just feel like I'm just so down and I'm showing out my face and my body posture. If you go out that day with your chin up, literally with your chin up, you fake it till you make it. You actually bring on that aura that you are going to be okay, that you're moving towards that more animated spirit state that we talk about, rather than being kind of that slumpy Eeyore.
Yes,
exactly. If we're gonna relate life to Winnie the Pooh characters, we could go a whole show on that.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Right? I mean, Eeyore was so apathetic, and then Tigger was like the ardent spirit. He was jumping all over the place.
Absolutely.
And Winnie the Pooh, and I guess Christopher, what was his name?
Robin.
Christopher Robin.
He was there in the middle. He was there. He was more focused.
Oh, Sesame Street and Winnie the Pooh. I'm telling you,
I could just
summarize life.
So, you know, Dr. Maxwell Maltz really did summarize everything when he talked about the fake it till you make it. But he proved with his control studies about how basketball players who go to what he called the theater of their mind and visualize themselves making shots after shot after shot, that when it cleared the basket, whoosh, a perfect shot. Mm. And they found in control studies later on that those people who imagined that did actually as well, sometimes better than the ones who got in the court and practiced for many hours. So that's the three states of our spirit. Let's now look at the three states of our ego. How is this? The ego simply means my sense of self. It's not, doesn't mean the inflated sense of egotistical. It means that I just have a sense of who I am. It's the I that I think of when I say myself. It's as with
right.
self-referencing.
I.
Yeah. So there are three states of the ego running up and down its continuum. If it isn't confusing enough to have our spirit growing through its ardent, and now we have our ego.
Right.
So our sense of self can go from vigilant. When I'm vigilant, I'm almost always in the ardent state of my spirit, which means I may be guarded. I may be a little on the offense, thinking what's going to happen next.
Right.
You know, we're feeling very, very guarded. And then I can go into the next state, which is where I would like to be, is when my ego is vital. I have enough energy that I'm feeling okay. I feel okay about myself. And I'm more mature. I'm reasonable. See, when Sarah finally said, okay, I need to talk to Robert. We have got to get this thing worked out. She had moved from being her guarded state of being perhaps on the offense and moving away from being vulnerable and fragile into more of the okay. Take a deep breath. I've talked to my friends about it. I feel better. I'm getting feedback. And also she felt the love of America.
Oh, the support.
Saying you're okay. You're fine the way you are. So that allowed her ego to finally become vital and mature. So what a great example for all of us to follow. So literally, your homework assignment is look in that mirror. If the mirror could speak words, what's it saying to you?
And what do you want it to say?
Yeah.
Because how do I see myself? How do others see me? And how do I want to be seen? Are three questions that you can take home today. Go write down on three separate pieces of paper and think about this, because the words that you want that mirror to say, you actually do have power.
And sometimes the mirror you're really looking at is your relationship, the other person.
Right.
That's the person that you are asking yourself, am I in the state I want to be? Is this the person I want to be for this individual? If that person is the one I think is right for me, I need to get myself ready for that.
Of course. And you want to be with somebody that brings up the best in you and you bring out the best in them.
Yes.
So if you feel like I'm only at this state, this vigilant ego state when I'm around them, you know, you want to find a balance, ego and spirit within yourself and with that person and sort of share that space together to bring out the best. I mean, that's when relationships don't become relation slips. That's
exactly.
when they thrive.
Exactly. And they're not just live, they are thriving. So bear in mind that pay attention this week, if you would please, to what is the state of my spirit? Where is my ego right now? And what do I want to bring forth in a relationship? We talked a little bit about giving and taking. Remember the saying is give and take. It's not take and give.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it you want to give to other people, particularly in your relationship? Ask yourself, become consciously aware.
Yes.
What do I want to do to keep my relationship alive and vital?
And start with yourself.
Yep.
That relationship with yourself, where is my ego and spirit right now? Am I overjudging through that seeds model? Am I planting too many seeds?
Yes.
we'll post seeds on our Facebook page so you can take it home. But thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to tweet us at @RelationSlips or facebook.com/RelationSlipsRadioShow.
And tune in the next time for us to hear Relation Slips. And be sure you guard against having your relationship become a relation slip.
We'll talk to you next time.
Till next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Relation Slips. Make sure you join Dr. Bobby Sommer and Lori Lynn Mann for another great show next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. This week, turn your relation slip into the relationship that you want.